Annette Nachimuli. I'm an obstetrician and gynecologist from Uganda. But for the past 3 years, I've mainly been doing my PhD on preeclampsia, the genetics of it, with Ashley Moffat from the University of Cambridge. So I do most of the research work in Africa, but the downstream work of the genotyping and analysis is being done mainly here in Cambridge. So I've been working with pregnant women for the last, say, 10 years, because even before I became a gynecologist, as a general practitioner, I worked with a district hospital and worked in the maternity ward. Well, my reason for getting interested in preeclampsia was that when I was doing my residency in obstetrics and gynecology, my research project was on induction of labor, and most of the mothers that were being induced for labor were actually preeclamptics, and I noticed that there were very many of them, and many of them ended up with poor outcomes. They would get complications, their babies would die or come out very sick. So I realized that was a big problem, and we were having these women admitted at least one every day. And I didn't feel like this was a normal thing to be happening. It didn't seem to be this bad elsewhere. So I realized that it's something I would need to look at more in the future. And when I got the opportunity to work with Ashley, I took it upon with open hands. Well, my average day as an obstetrician working in, this is a referral hospital. Actually, it's the National Referral Hospital. So the patient loads are quite huge. And just other than preeclampsia, there are so many other cases, but this is one of those conditions which keeps us on our toes. We have around 8 deliveries a day, and most around 18 of these are cesarean sections. But even then, there are many more admitted who stay on the wards. So usually the labor ward has around 100 mothers a day. So of course, we believe we could be one of the busiest maternity centers in Africa, since we conduct around 30,000 deliveries a year. And this comes with challenges. This is a hospital built in 1962. And our department had the capacity of 225 patients. And this is obstetrics and gynecology. But now we are working beyond 3 times the expected number we should be handling. So floor cases are a common scenario. When the labor ward, which is meant to deliver 20 women, you usually find those big numbers. I'm talking about 80 or 90. And much as we are few obstetricians, but we could work in such an environment, but there's a bigger problem of fewer midwives. So the ratio of patient to health worker, or what we'd call a skilled attendant, is low, even in this big hospital. Well, we have the emergency obstetric equipment, but it's not just enough for the loads of patients we have. For example, we are able to perform a cesarean section. We are able to do ultrasound. And most of the key things in an emergency obstetric problem, but still this is with a lot of difficulty. And one of the other problems we have is that we don't have the kind of more advanced diagnostic techniques. So we rely mainly, like for example, when mothers come in, we have to rely a lot on our clinical skills to examine and assess and know whether there's a problem. So sometimes, like, a fetus which is distressed may take long to be noticed just because of the kind of things we are doing. elsewhere it could be continuous monitoring, but we can't afford that with the numbers we have. So of course, when mothers come to the labor ward, they hope to get the best out of it, come out with a live baby, and come out alive themselves. But, well, women come with mixed feelings. I mean, they've seen colleagues die before them in the labor wards. So there is a tendency to think that a maternal death is something inevitable. It's more than inevitable than avoidable. So when it happens, they are more to accept it. It's kind of a cultural thing. So even when a woman dies in labor, the kind of words used imply that, well, that was bound to happen. So that shows that probably also the people we are dealing with, they are worried that they could die during delivery, but they are not as worried as we would expect. One of the reasons why they come in late with complications, because they could get some of the danger signs that are known to kind pregnancy, like probably bleeding, headache, what, but they're not so much in a hurry to go to hospital because they feel they are bothering other people around them. Like, a pregnant woman doesn't have as much priority as is given in the Western world. So they will try to make sure the other things are done before they get to hospital. Children are well cared for. The husband has to accept that, yes, it is right for her to go to hospital. And all these delays make them sometimes come late. So we get a lot of maternal death, which could have been avoidable because of late reporting to the health facility. So we have a problem of fistula, obstetric fistula, actually, because you can have fistula which arise from cancers, like maybe cervical cancer, but these are fistula really arising from women having prolonged and obstructed labor, meaning they've taken so long laboring, usually at home or elsewhere, could be the traditional birth attendants who are still very much operational in our setting. And by the time they realize that really the baby is not coming, it's too late, they get to hospital and they start, a few days usually after delivery, they start leaking urine continuously. And this has very long-term consequences. Usually the baby dies, and usually they become stigmatized, social outcasts. The men usually run away, and even when they stay in their homes, they don't feel to be in the same company as other people. So, and this is something which is very difficult to treat and costs a lot of resources. So as a result of that, we have a whole division of actually urogynecology, but a lot of their resources are going into trying to help these mothers who have had obstetric fistula. In fact, recently it was thought that it's actually a big problem, like about 2% of women in Uganda have at one time complained of an obstetric, of having this leakage of urine following a difficult labor. So this is something you don't hear about in UK or elsewhere. It's even not written in their books anymore, but it is a reality in Africa. So those are the big differences you see. So it's really something just happening in Africa. It may not be daily, but in a bad month, it's easier to put in months. Okay. You can have up to 15 maternal deaths, which would mean like at least 3 a week. So the figures vary with the months, but it is for sure higher than national level. Nationally, we talk of 435 mothers per 100,000 live births dying. But this being a referral unit, it has much more death than the national figure, which is usually twice that figure. So we could say 15 mothers a month. Well, babies, usually the number is double or three times that, because when a mother dies, usually the baby also dies. But also there are many other circumstances where the mother lives but the baby dies. So fetal death or early neonatal death is much more common than that. And we don't have very good neonatal care facilities. So some of the babies who would have survived, like following these complicated deliveries, like I've said, preeclampsia, die because they are very remote from what we'd call term. So they can't survive because of that. And so we register a lot of death. So maternal death and infant and neonatal death is usually, they correlate. They go, the etiologies are so similar. Well, I don't have the age of head, but of course the trend of maternal mortality death, the age range is surprising. Are the women who first of all, many of them are below, are minors, below 18 years, because they are likely to get complications of obstructed labor, preeclampsia. But secondly, we have a very young nation. About 50% of Ugandans are below the age of 15. So that shows you that a lot of mothers are young. And young mothers, as I said, are more prone to complications of labor and pregnancy. They are children themselves, so they are still growing and bearing children. So you get family headed by children who are not earning an income. So the whole problem seems to be much broader than we can handle as health workers alone. Well, what I find interesting about this conference is the different types of people from different walks of life coming together to discuss this important issue. Well, there have been many conferences discussing maternal mortality, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. And action points have been discussed and things, but it seems like we've got to a point where some unusual things have to be done and addressed. And anything which tries to address this problem, to me, I get eager. So if we do probably something different, it could be that window of hope that we have been missing. So it is different in that different stakeholders who are key in maternal health will be discussing with us. Because the problem is we seem to be isolated in our health facilities handling maternal health problems. And they are also elsewhere seeing these mothers die. Because one of the things is that many mothers die in the community. They never get to us. And very few of our mothers actually come and deliver in health facilities. The figure is usually less than 50%. So another 50 are busy getting complications, dying, where these other non-medical people are. And the reasons are usually more than just health. There are social reasons why they are not coming to the hospitals. So I think the conference will come out with a different angle to look at these maternal health problems, which probably could help.